together about thyself and thy precious word. Just trust as we open it that thou would show us wonderful and marvelous truths out of it. And the truths that we learned this morning, both in the breaking of bread meeting and the Sunday school hour, we just trust that we might use them and apply them to our lives throughout the week. These things we ask in his name and for his sake. Amen. Let us turn to Numbers, the 19th chapter. Just a short chapter, so we'll read it through the whole of it. Just a little bit of a study. Numbers 19. Beginning with the first verse, and the Lord spoke unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, this is the ordinance of the law which the Lord hath commanded, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring thee a red heifer without spot, wherein is no blemish, and upon which never came yoke. And ye shall give it unto Eleazar the priest, that he may bring it forth outside the camp, and one shall slay it before his face. And Eleazar the priest shall take of its blood with his finger and sprinkle with its blood directly before the tabernacle of the congregation seven times. And one shall burn the heifer in his sight, its skin and its flesh, its blood with its dung shall he burn. And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet and cast it into the midst of the burning heifer. Then the priest shall wash his clothes, and he shall bathe his flesh in water, and afterward he shall come into the camp, and the priest shall be unclean until the evening. And he that burneth it shall wash his clothes in water, and bathe his flesh in water, and shall be unclean until the evening. And a man who is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer, and lay them up outside the camp in a clean place. And it shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel for a water of separation. It is a purification for sin. And he who gathereth the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the evening. And it shall be unto the children of Israel and unto the stranger that sojourneth among them for a statute forever. He who toucheth the dead body of any man shall be unclean 7 days. He shall purify himself with it on the third day, and on the seventh day he shall be clean. But if he purify not himself the third day, then the seventh day he shall not be clean. Whosoever toucheth the dead body of any man who is dead, and purifieth not himself, defileth the tabernacle of the Lord. And that soul shall be cut off from Israel, because the water of separation was not sprinkled upon him. He shall be unclean. His uncleanness is yet upon him. This is the law. When a man dieth in a tent, all who come into the tent and all that is in the tent shall be unclean 7 days. And every open vessel which hath no covering bound upon it is unclean. And whosoever toucheth one who is slain with a sword in the open field, or a dead body, or a bone of a man, or a grave, shall be unclean 7 days. And for an unclean person they shall take of the ashes of the burnt-off heifer, a purification for sin, and running water shall be put thereto in a vessel. And a clean person shall take hyssop, and dip it in the water, and sprinkle it upon the tent, upon all the vessels, and upon the persons who were there, and upon him that touched a bone, or one slain, or one dead, or a grave. And the clean person shall sprinkle upon the unclean on the third day and on the seventh day. And on the seventh day he shall purify himself and wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and shall be clean at evening. But the man who shall be unclean and shall not purify himself, that soul shall be cut off from among the congregation, because he hath defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. The water of separation hath not been sprinkled upon him. He is unclean. And it shall be a perpetual statute unto them, that he who sprinkleth the water of separation shall wash his clothes, and he who toucheth the water of separation shall be unclean until evening. And whatsoever the unclean persons toucheth shall be unclean, and the soul that toucheth it shall be unclean until evening. Now we know that we go back to Leviticus 1 through 7. And it gives a very detailed account of the sacrifices. And we wonder why this wasn't there. Why wasn't this included? It's not even mentioned. Theirs was as a result of the redemption. And they came out of Egypt. In this case, they're going through the wilderness. And it's to cleanse their walk as they go through the wilderness. Very much like us. We're pilgrims. They were pilgrims. The red heifer. We find it in the Leviticus there. It's a complete coverage is what I've got here. For those in the land. Not those journeying to the land. Numbers, the land of pilgrimage way, a journey, a wilderness type. Matthew 11, let's look at that for a moment. Matthew 11, the 29th verse. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. Now this is the type of yoke that this red heifer is speaking of. Up here in verse 2. And it says that they... Let's start with the beginning of it. This is the ordinance of the law which the Lord hath commanded, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring thee a red heifer, without spot, no blemishes whatsoever, wherein is no blemish, and upon which never came yoke. Let us go back in mind to Genesis 22, the sixth verse. We'll lead up to that. Remember when Abraham was told to take his only begotten son, in other words, his unique son, because he did have another son. This, too, is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaac was unique in the fact that he was born out of due time. You could say that. Because Sarah was beyond the time of having children. And remember, she even laughed when the angel of the Lord mentioned it. And even denied it. So this was the promised son, even as God's promised son was promised to us. Now he was told where to go, and it took them 3 days journey. Can you think in your own mind what must have passed through the father's head? Now it doesn't say that he ever said anything to Sarah. But what was going through his head? And he didn't hesitate and said, it was early in the morning when he went up. Got ready to go and do it. God's word first. God's will first. And then once they got to the place of sacrifice, let's back up a little. From the time they left the servants, remember they said, we will come to you again. Abraham knew God had promised his seed down through the ages to that son. No matter what happened, they were coming back. And remember what was placed on Isaac's back? The wood. The wood for the fire. But wood speaks of sin. He was carrying, as it were, the load of sin. The picture of Christ carrying our sin. And when they got there, they find that he had what? He had the wood, the father had the fire, and the knife, as well as the lamb. The Lord will provide himself. A lamb. The Lord would be the lamb. So this is the picture of what this yoke is. The yoke that this red heifer, what does it say? No yoke ever came upon. If that yoke had been ever placed on that red heifer, it would have been a picture of the red heifer with sin. Without the yoke, it was a picture of a sinless being, if you will, The wart couldn't even be so much as a white or a black or a gray hair in his coat. It had to be red complete. Then we find that when the Lord, well, let's go down a little farther before I get all mixed up here. Look at this. Let us look at Hebrews 10 for a moment. Hebrews 10. Five through seven. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. If we were to go back to the Levitical sacrifices, the first one is the burnt sacrifice. And that is a picture of Christ. All of the other sacrifices granted are tied to it like different facets of a gem. But the primary thing is, he came to do the will of the Father. Mind you, it was burnt completely too. Man had no part in it. In this case, we find, we could quote if there was a loss here, we would use 2 Timothy 3:16-17, but most of us here could quote that as well. 2 Peter 1:20-21. And ye shall give unto Eleazar the priest, this is verse 3, that he may bring it forth outside the camp. The Lord was slain outside the camp. He wasn't slain inside the camp. Now, the burnt offering was slain inside the camp, and it was burned on the altar inside the temple, or in this case it would be the tabernacle. But the sin offering was taken outside of the camp. And Eleazar the priest shall take of its blood with his finger and sprinkle its blood directly before the tabernacle of the congregation 7 times. This is a type of the presentation of the blood of Christ. It's the only ground where we can meet God, where God and conscience can meet together. If we were to look at Psalms 85:10, we don't need to look at it. Mercy and truth are met together, righteousness and peace assist each other. Truth and righteousness would condemn us. Peace and mercy save us. It was at Calvary where the sin offering was offered that we were in Isaiah 1:18, come now and let us reason together, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow, though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And when we stop and think of our natural selves and our shortcomings, and yet God sees us as though we've never sinned. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he died that we might be made righteous beyond our comprehension. We find that he himself, he did no sin, he knew no sin, and in him was no sin. In another place, he's holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than heaven. Now, verses 5. And one shall burn the heifer in his sight, his skin, and his flesh, and his blood, with its dung shall he burn it. In other words, the complete animal was to be burned. And a priest shall take cedar wood, and hyssop, and scarlet, and cast it into the midst of the burning heifer. Now on the surface, that doesn't seem very important. But who mentions the cedar wood first? Solomon. He knew everything. He knew that he studied it from the cedar of Lebanon, the great cedars of Lebanon, all the way down to the hyssop that sprang out of the side of the wall. From the greatest, the least, or vice versa, and everything between. And that speaks to us of what?
See? It's all wood. It was placed in the midst of the heifer, the red heifer.
And then scarlet. Scarlet speaks to us of the glory of man. When we think of the beast and the woman that's riding him, how was she dressed? Scarlet. What was the color of the beast? Scarlet. It speaks of the glory of mankind. That too is cast into this heifer and it's burned. It's burned completely, burned to ashes. Then the priest shall wash his clothes, and he shall bathe his flesh in water, and afterward he shall come into the camp, and the priest shall be unclean until evening. I think one of the morning meetings, I can't remember what the figures are. Unclean, wash, bathe, and it seems like there was something else in there. But they all have to do with cleaning. And you can't believe how many times in that short chapter. Now, what does it have to do with the walk? Okay, well, we'll go a little farther and we'll see it. In verse 9, and the man who is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and lay them up outside the camp in a clean place. And it shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel for a water of separation. It is a purification for sin. Ephesians 5:26, if you guys remember, where he has sanctified them and washed them with water by the word, I think. Not exactly right, but it's close. Let us look and see that we get it right. Ephesians 2. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Then we get another picture. We get a picture of the Lord Jesus in, I had it written down, I should know it though, in John 13. John chapter 13. And near the front of it. Verse 4, John 13:4. Jesus riseth up from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Now when we stop and think of it, this is a cleansing. We who know Christ as Savior, how concerned are we come before the Lord to be cleansed daily? What is the picture? If I wash thee not, thou hast no part in me. Now that doesn't say you wouldn't be saved. Your fellowship's gone, broken. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, and not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not, except to wash his feet, but is entirely clean, and ye are clean, but not all of you, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. In our daily walk through the life, we can't help but touch him. The Israelite, he had a complete bath, but he wore sandals. And wherever he went, it was dust. And when they arrived at their destination, it was the custom, they had the purification waters, etc., for them to bathe the visitor's feet, to wash the feet.
And this is what it's a picture of. You and I, every day. Now, if we were to go by the Ten Commandments, the first one, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. How well do we do that? That doesn't mean we're down on our knees in prayer all the time. Although we can be in an attitude of prayer all the time. All the things that we do, all the places that we go, all the things that we say, can we honestly do it and bring honor to God? When we stop and think of that, it's all of it. But that's one of the reasons we're to be washed by the Word every day.
That's why he's so particular all the way down through here. If you have Scofield's Concordance, at the bottom, he's got the order of how it all proceeds, but it's a little long to go into that right now. It's a water of separation. We're to be separated from the world. Come out from amongst them and be separate. He shall purify himself, verse 12, with it on the third day, and on the seventh day he shall be clean. But as we go over to another verse, we find that it has to be done the third day and the seventh day, not just the third day. But if you were to do it on the seventh day and omit the third day, you were still considered unclean. In fact, as a Jew, you were to be put out from amongst the people. You were to be cut off. But if he purify not himself on the third day, then the seventh day he shall not be clean. Whosoever toucheth the dead, and it goes on, and you know, with us today, we go to a funeral, and we're walking over graves all the time. Most of us will walk right over them. Years ago, people used to walk around them. They're really not there, so it doesn't make that much difference, but that's the picture. There's not many places that you could go, especially if there were dead people, without being contaminated in that respect. Down in verse 17. And for an unclean person, they shall take of the ashes of the burnt heifer a purification for sin, and running water speaks to us of the Holy Ghost, shall be put thereto in a vessel. And a clean person shall take hyssop and dip it in water and sprinkle it upon the tent, upon all the vessels, upon the persons who were there, and upon him that touched a bone, or one slain, or one dead, or a grave, and a clean person shall sprinkle upon the unclean on the third day, and on the seventh day. And on the seventh day he shall purify himself, and wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and shall be clean at evening. How careful God is, so how clean he expects his people to be. When they fall, there's provision made. So the Lord Jesus right now is our advocate. Blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses from all sin, not just past sin, all sin. When we get right with the Lord, when Satan brings it before the Father, he could say, look what this person's done. The Lord could say, I paid for that. Taken care of. Something else is just going through my head, and I can't recall it right at the present time. I'd like to look at, well, we should, most of us could quote 1 John 1, 9 and 10. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have no sin, we make him a liar. I left a little piece out of that. I know that. 1 Corinthians 2. Or 2 Corinthians, excuse me. 2 Corinthians 6, beginning with the 14th verse. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting
holiness and the fear of God. And then I'd like to look at 1 Thessalonians 5. Beginning with the 16th verse.
Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, we don't often think of it. Usually when something happens, why me? When it comes down to it, why not? Why me?
But we know that all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord, those that are the called according to His purpose.
In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Not the other guy, but the other group concerning you.
Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil.
And I think a whole lot of us get fouled up in that last part. We may not be doing something wrong, but there can be an appearance of it. God said there shouldn't even be an appearance of it. And in Galatians, sixth chapter, the 14th verse, God forbid that I should boast, except or save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. If we have died in Christ, how does the world have control over it? It's like, I think some of us have heard me use this little tale before. An old Chinese gentleman had been in the opium den for a good part of his life. That was before the communists got hold of him. And he finally got saved. Well, he stopped with all of his old cronies, and years later, he ran into a friend on the street, and those old buddies in the opium den, and they got talking after the opening. And the old friend asked him, he said, well, how are you doing? He said, well, I've got two dogs in me, a black dog and a white dog. White dog speaking of the good and the black speaking of the evil. And this old friend said to him, well, who rules? Whoever I say, stick them to. That's right. We can justify about anything we want. But when we get down to the Word of God, then we have to back up. Then I'd like to look at 1 Corinthians 15th chapter, the last verse.
Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We may not see any fruit at the time. We may many times think we're almost wasting our time. We're spinning our wheels. But God knows, I've used this little story before, I know. A dear saint was up in the Aleutian Islands. And she spent her life ministering there. And never saw a single soul saved. The most of us, under similar circumstances, how would we react? We feel, well, maybe the Lord just doesn't want me here, and you go somewhere else. Well, the Lord took her home. A young couple came on the island, and within 2 years, every soul on the island was saved. But who did the found? Now, that dear sister didn't see much fruit. But certainly there will be rewards in heaven for us. Many times we don't always see fruit. But where to do what? Sow the seed. Where to sow the seed?
water with prayer, and the Holy Spirit will take care of you. Many times we wonder why some are so, they get by without any illnesses, without any problems, and we've known some like that. Looks like apparently they have nothing wrong. Sometimes if you only knew. But there are those that apparently don't have many things go wrong. But what does the Word tell us? We'll not be tempted or tested of what? Above that which we are able. Did you ever stop to think that maybe some of those folks wouldn't be able to bear it? And many times we're actually jealous of them. But the stronger we get, what's going to happen? Greater the temptation. The story, you've heard this too, about the old Welshman. Came up at the time of the revival, the great revival in Wales. And when he came out of the mines, the people on the streets cleared the streets. Once he got hold of his booze, he was a devil. But he got saved during that revival. Now he's an old man. He's walking down the street and a young brother meets him. And he said, "Sir, it must be wonderful when you get old and you don't have any temptation." He said, "Young fellow," he said, "that isn't the way it is." He said, "When I meet one of my old cronies on the street, if I can even smell booze on him, I have to turn on my heel and walk away. If I'm going down the street and there's a beer parlor or saloon, should I have to go to the other side?" In that sense, it doesn't get easier, it gets harder. But the more you overcome, the more you're able to overcome. And the Lord is building us. He's making something for His special purpose for Himself. Let us look to the Lord. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for being able to open Thy Word, the group of Thy people. You may not be eloquent. You know that there are some that are far more eloquent, far more gifted, and even they in turn must, in most cases, have to admit the same in their situation. But the most eloquent of all cannot give to God the glory that He deserves. Glory, we think of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we know that if He is the one to receive the glory, the Father would be honored as a result of the Son receiving the glory, and certainly the Holy Spirit would be rejoicing in this. So Father, everything that we do, everything that we say, wherever we go, we trust that we might be careful that Christ might receive the glory. We ask that few thoughts that have been mentioned here, we might apply them to ourselves. We see how serious our God is to the cleanliness of His people. I think particularly spiritually. We know that as we go out into the world, we rub shoulders. We even turn a program on the TV. If nothing else, some of the commercials will come up that will have trash on it. We see things in the newspaper, we hear it on the radio, we hear it with those that we come in contact with it for. Certainly this is, as it were, with the days of the disciples, the dirtying of the feet, if you would, and coming into a home, they would have to be washed, they would have to be cleansed because of their contact with the evil. And this is our case. We are watched by Thy Word. We trust that each of us that know Christ as Savior, not only in this little meeting, but wherever God's people are, that we might be found in the Word of God, and that Word we know will have its cleansing effect on each of us, some more, some less, some greater at one time, some less at another time. But our God knows. He knows all of our needs. We think of those that have been mentioned earlier as to illnesses, some that have lost loved ones. We ask that Thou would seek the needed blessing in each case. We ask too, if our Lord be not come, that Thou would bring us back to the prayer meeting on Wednesday evening. And those that are journeying, that they would be kept in safety. These things we ask in His name and for His sake. Amen.